Barnaby Jones parked his rented buggy in Cortez. His drive down from Denver was brutal. He was sure he almost froze to death. But for 3 bottles of imported French sherry, he wouldn't have made it through the wilderness in a blizzard. He stopped in front of the sheriff's office and took a wool blanket off his lap before he climbed down from the seat. He removed his gloves. Cortez was a mere spot in the road, a dot on the map he bought in Denver after he got off the train.
The things I do to get a story.
He wondered if his editor at Harper's Magazine would appreciate his troubles.
Oh, yes.
Barnaby Jones entered the sheriff's door without knocking, enjoying the warmth from a cast-iron stove in a corner of the tiny room. A jail cell sat at the back of the place. A man with a gray handlebar mustache looked up at him with a question on his face. He was seated at a battered roll-top desk with a newspaper in his lap.
Sheriff Jim Sykes.
That's me.
The lawman looked him up and down.
Stranger, you ain't dressed for this climate. Didn't anybody tell you it gets cold in Colorado territory?
Yes, sir, they did.
Barnaby offered his hand.
I am Barnaby Jones from Harper's Magazine in New York. I'm wearing long underwear under my suit.
What brings you to Cortez?
The United States Marshal in Denver told me to look you up. I'm writing a story for my magazine about a retired gunfighter named Frank Morgan, and Marshal Williams said you would know if he's in this part of the country. One of our competitors, the Boston Globe, has sent a reporter out here to interview this Mr. Morgan. I'd like to talk to Morgan myself.
He ain't in these parts, mister. Marshal Williams was wrong about that. If Morgan was around, I'd know about it. I'd have dead men stacked up here like cord wood.
Barnaby edged over to the stove, warming his backside as best he could.
I have other information. A writer by the name of Lewis Pettigrew from the Globe found out that Morgan is in southwestern Colorado. I'm only a day or two behind, Mr. Pettigrew.
You're both wrong.
How can you be so sure, Sheriff?
Like I said, no dead bodies. Maybe you ought to have the wax cleaned out of your ears. I said it real plain the first time.
Well, I know he's somewhere close by. Pettigrew left the day before I did. He rented a horse in Denver and came down here. Something about Morgan's son being a prisoner of some outlaw gang.
We got a few outlaws. Some of them are in town right now. Victor Van Bergen and his bunch of toughs are down at the wagon wheel. But they haven't caused any trouble. I think they're just passing through.
I never heard of Victor Van Bergen. Who's he?
A bank robber, thief, and a killer. But so long as he don't cause no trouble in my town, I'm leaving him and his boys alone.
Barnaby reached inside his heavy wool coat, taking out a few papers.
Who is Ned Pine?
A hired gun. Worse than Van Bergen. He heads up one of the old outlaw gangs in this part of the West. But last time I heard of him, he was down south. Texas, I think.
Mr. Pettigrew of the Boston Globe believes he's here, and that he has Frank Morgan's son as a hostage.
It's news to me. I'd have had something over the telegraph wire by now if Ned Pine and his men were close by.
I still think I have good information about Pine and Morgan.
Sykes went back to reading his paper.
You're welcome to look around, but Morgan ain't here, and neither is Pine. Van Bergen just showed up today. I judge he'll be gone by tomorrow if this snow lets up.
Where can I hire a room for the night? And I need a place to stable my buggy horse.
Ain't but one hotel in town, the Cortez Hotel. It's just down the street. You can't miss it.
Have I come too late to buy dinner?
Mary over at the cafe might have some stew left. She's about to close, so I'd hurry if I was you.
Thank you, Sheriff. I'm thankful for the information you gave me.
You're wasting your time in Cortez looking for Ned Pine or Frank Morgan. We don't get many of the real bad hard cases in this town. They usually pass right on through if the weather's decent.
Barnaby put on his hat and walked out the door.
Damn!
The wind picked up after sundown. Bits of ice and snow stung Jones' cheeks as he climbed back in his snow-covered buggy. Frank sat his horse, watching Ned Pine and his men ride across a snow-covered valley.
He's got those two men covering the back trail.
The snow is mighty heavy, Morgan. If we ride around them and cut off those two gunslingers, we can put them in the ground.
They're keeping about a quarter mile between them and Ned. This snow keeps up. Ned won't notice if I jump in front of them and have them toss down their guns.
What? You ain't gonna kill them?
Not unless they don't give me a choice.
Well, what the hell are you gonna do? Tie the both of them to a tree?
I'll show you if they allow it. Follow me and we'll cut them off.
Rich Barnes shivered, nursing a pint of whiskey in the icy wind.
To hell with this, Cabot. We're not making a dime messing around with Frank Morgan's kid. I say we cut out of here and head south.
Ned would follow us and kill us!
Cabot Bulwar covered his mouth with a woolen shawl.
This is a personal thing for Ned.
I'm freezing to death.
No, oh, so am I. I'm from Baton Rouge. I'm not used to this cold, mon ami.
To hell with it, then. With Ned and Lyle and Slade and Billy right over that next ridge. Let's get the hell out of here.
I am afraid of Ned. I do not want to die out here in this snow.
Rich stood up suddenly in his stirrups and pulled his sorrel to a halt.
Who the hell is that with the rifle pointing straight at us?
There are two of them. There's another one on foot standing behind that tree. He also has a rifle aimed at us.
Damn.
Rich readied to open his coat and reach for his pistol.
Climb down, boys. Keep your hands up where I can see them.
Morgan!
Cabot followed the instructions.
Step away from your horses.
Take your pistols out and toss them down!
Rich threw his Colt 44 into the snow. Cabot opened his Mackinac carefully and dropped his Smith & Wesson 45 near his feet.
Get their horses and guns. I'll keep them covered.
An old man in a coonskin cap came toward them carrying a large bore rifle. He picked up their pistols and took their horses' reins, leading them off the trail.
All right, boys. I got one more thing for you to do.
What the hell is that, mister?
Sit down right where you are and pull off your boots.
What?
Pull off your damn boots.
But our feet will freeze. We'll get the frostbite.
Would you rather be dead?
No.
Cabot sat down in the snow to pull off his boots.
We'll die out here with no boots. We can't make it in our stocking feet.
I can shoot you now. That way your feet won't be cold.
Rich slumped to his rump and pulled off his stovepipe boots without further complaint.
Now start walking. I don't give a damn which direction you go.
We will die!
The lanky gunman came toward them and picked up their boots without taking his rifle sights off them.
Life ain't no easy proposition, gentlemen. Start walking, or I'll kill you right where you sit.